Hi, my name is Gary Houck, and one of my favorite sites in Montcalm County is the Montcalm Heritage Village. I'm eager to talk to you today about that great place.
Welcome to the Discover Montcalm podcast, where we are going to look at the communities, the businesses, the attractions, and the people that make up Montcalm County. Here is your podcast host, Dwayne Weed.
Hello, and welcome to this edition of the Discover Montcalm podcast, and yes, Gary is back. In the last episode that he was on, we talked about Montcalm Community College and the history, because he wrote a book on it. And if you want to know more about that, go back and look in the podcast to see his interview and all of the very interesting things you'll find on the history of MCC. Today, we are going to talk about something that's still connected with Montcalm Community College, but it's Heritage Village, and it's right next door. So, Gary, thank you for sharing this information with you.
Oh, my pleasure.
And I have to first say that I'm a little upset at you.
Uh-oh.
And only for the fact that at Heritage Festival this year, which we're in October of 2025 you were manning a table with some wonderful artwork.
Thank you.
And it was a silent auction.
A fundraiser.
And the reason I'm upset with you is that you didn't award me the bid.
But you were so gracious to help up the ante with that. I'm so grateful for that. Thank you for doing that. Well, it worked out great.
And that is me thinking that I'm funny. But if it helped raise it up.
Yes.
But it was one of those things that I told my wife the next day that I guess I didn't win because I didn't get the phone call.
But it was great to see you there that day. I appreciated the fellowship.
And it was nice. And we had also touched base back when you were Reverend Ole
Amble.
Amble. Yes. So there's a podcast with Gary here on it that you were actually in character. So today, let's jump into Montcalm Community College Heritage Village, which is right next door to the west of the college.
It's on our campus at MCC, yeah.
How did that get started?
You know, that's a great question. I want to get that for a second. But before I do that, Ole Amble, I learned about him at the village.
Oh, okay.
So that's where that all came from as well. So it kind of all interconnects. So, yeah, how this all got started? Back in the 1970s, there was already an attempt by those who owned the Schoen Log House in Crystal to give that to the college.
Okay.
And the college wasn't quite sure what to do with a log house. you know, what do we do with that, and why would we even want that?
Yeah.
They also came back to Don Burns again in 1986 and said, would you like to have the log house on the campus of Montcalm Community College? And again, Dr. Burns said, yeah, I'm not sure why we would want that. But he sent Jim Lance, who was the VP for administration, and Frank Reeder, who was the head of maintenance, to go look at it.
Okay.
And they came back and they said, you know, this is really quite a building. 1860, probably one of the oldest structures in Montcalm County.
Okay.
So we'd have a piece of history if we did that. So as Dr. Burns is contemplating this, he also got a phone call from the superintendent at MEISD, Dr. Bill Cedar, who said, we have a proposal for a schoolhouse in Amble, the Gaffield Schoolhouse,
okay,
and the Larson family would like to donate that to Montcalm Community College. Well, interestingly, one of our trustees, Bob Marston, was also a committee member of the Michigan Sesquicentennial Committee.
Okay.
And so he had a kind of a light bulb moment and said, what if we get those buildings and we make that Montcalm Community College's contribution to our sesquicentennial celebration here in Montcalm County? And with that, Don Burns said, that makes sense.
Okay.
The school makes sense because we're an educational institution, so having a school here makes sense. If we get the log house too, then we can make that a part of our celebration of our 150th year state anniversary.
Sure.
And so they did that. So the log house was taken apart piece by piece and reassembled on site next to our admin building there across the street on our campus. And then the schoolhouse moved on a flatbed truck.
Okay.
And that also dated back from the 1800s.
And that's pretty impressive to watch a house or a building being moved.
Absolutely.
I mean, oh my goodness, you want to make sure that, I mean, there's, you hire a professional for that one.
Absolutely, absolutely. And what's cool about that is a lot of the information that we now have about the school also was retained by the Larson family. We have a picture, for example, of Doris Mulholland, a teacher in 1915 with her students at the school, desks, and the teacher's desk and the bell that are still a part of that today.
Right.
So you can go into the school and see all the equipment that came along with the schoolhouse. Pretty excited about that. So at the same time, this is a nice configuration of influencing factors. Four ladies from Montcalm County made a trek to Ludington and visited the White Pine Historical Village.
Okay.
And so when they came back, they said to Dr. Burns, Hazel Smith being one of those four, it was Rosemary Long, Maxine Harris, Mildred Mahan, and Hazel Smith. And they said to Dr. Burns, what if we, beyond this year, maintain this village and make it one like the one in Ludington to celebrate the buildings of Montcalm County. And so that's what kind of generated at launching into the future, not just for 150th, beyond that. So that first year in 87, in that summer, they had a celebration for the Michigan State anniversary. And then the year following, they kept on doing that, and they added building by building by building. So now they have over 25 buildings on that property.
And what's cool is instead of just tearing these buildings down for progress, that now there's a place that these buildings could be moved, brought in, and then shared with the community. Hmm. And I think it's pretty cool because I teach at the Montcalm Area Career Center.
Yes, you do, sure.
And part of what we do in the fall when the kids are learning how to use a camera is we go over to the village, you know, and because there's a lot of different backgrounds, there's buildings, and there's a chance for them to work on depth of field and posing and all of that kind of stuff. And it's convenient. It's really convenient that it's there. So basically it started with two.
Yep.
And then moved up to the 20s that you've got now.
Correct. And also an association. So B. Dozer, who was then the chair of the trustees at MCC, said we need to make sure that we have a separate organization from MCC. It's an ancillary group to us, but it's going to be its own organization. So she asked Jean Brundage from the board to be a representative on the committee of Heritage Village. And there has always been someone from the MCC board or administration that's been a part of that committee, so that there's that liaison communication going back and forth. But they have their own community-led volunteer committee that gives direction to the village.
Okay.
And so they are autonomous, even though they're under the auspices of the college. They are an autonomous body. And so they had Jesse Fox and Tom Learmont create a master plan. And volunteers have, for the most part, taken leadership, and they have developed it as they see fit. And so MCC has said, we give you our blessing, take it and run with it. And so they have. And so they added the schoolhouse, they added the country store, the general store that was downtown Sydney.
Okay.
That Lem Fish founded back in the early 1900s, and they moved that in 1989, along with the Sydney Town Hall that the Sydney State Bank paid for, for its move here. And that became part of our campus as well. We had some buildings that were moved from a further away. The McBride Depot came from McBride. And by the way, in McBride, there's still a discussion, is the term McBride or McBride's? And so there's some who alter their view on that. For that reason, for many years, even our depot would go from McBride Depot to McBride's Depot, and the sign would even change.
Oh, Just to try to keep things.
Yeah.
Now, the store, when it was moved, they have a festival.
They
now.
Do, yeah.
I don't know what year it started.
87.
Okay. So the festival started
for the sesquicentennial.
Yep.
Yep.
And they kept that up. The stuff that's in the store, was that authentic from what was in the store when they moved it, or was that stuff that was brought in, or is it a combination?
Most was donated. Yeah, was donated. So we had the post office was donated to show the fact that back in the day, that was actually used, mm-hmm. a multi-purpose. It was kind of the department store, and it was the post office. It was the gathering place, mm-hmm. where you would come and play checkers or whatever, and yeah. get your penny candy and your pickles and yeah. your hat and your clothes, as well as your dry goods. So a lot of it has been added to that from that time period.
I kind of like the barbershop, but I don't really need the barbershop.
Yeah. Well, the barbershop, interesting. So the barbershop, Dell's Barbershop and Bell's Hat Shop, were the boys and girls' entrances to the Entrekin School.
Okay.
And so when they gave us the school, we thought, well, the school is beyond repair, but we can use those two foyers. And so they cut off the foyers, and Dale Wood and others, Dale White and others, brought that to our campus and refurbished them and made them the barbershop and the hat shop. So
okay.
it was kind of interesting.
And it's got a barn there. I mean, it's got
we
some
have
other
the
things.
Ale barn from yeah. From the Crystal area as well. I believe they came from Crystal. Dale White was also instrumental in reconstructing that. We have the blacksmith shop.
Yep.
That was built by Dale White with equipment that came to us from other sources. I think Mr. Raymer was one of those that gave to us those. The doctor's house was an old house in Stanton
right.
that John Bookwalter gave to us that dated back to 1910.
Oh, wow.
And that was moved on a flatbed truck, and now we have provided a wonderful visual of how a doctor's house would have looked back at that time period in the yeah. 1910s.
With and the actual, during the festival, you get a chance to
yeah.
walk through that. And you can kind of see, because otherwise you can look through the windows.
Sure.
And, you know, but there's opportunities that you can actually go and actually enter these and be part of what was there. I know that during the festival this year, there was actually kids in school.
Yes, they do have school sessions.
In the attire of
period dress
that time, which was kind of neat. And then watching them outside playing games with games of that time.
Yes.
You know, instead of out on their Game Boys or whatever
yeah.
it might be, you know, on their phones. They're part of the reenactment.
Yeah. The Discover Montcom podcast thanks West Michigan Technology and Design Solutions, M106.3 WGLM, DW Video, Blueberry Podcast Platform, and Business Growth Engine. Thank you for your support.
And our docents actually are in our committee. They're committee members who during the year plan for these things, and then during the festival, they don their
right.
garb, and they become a part of the reenactment of that particular building.
Well, and there was also a tent set up, and some ladies were making bread over
sure.
a fire.
Over a campfire.
You know, so, I mean,
so a war reenactment, yeah.
Yeah, and that, I think, is pretty cool. Now, the train.
Yeah.
How did the train, I mean, I understand the depot.
Mm-hmm.
Where'd you find a train?
Yeah, Bob Brundage was the one who led the charge on that one. Gene Brundage's husband, who was a fireman, I think, for Crystal for many, many years. But he had connections with the Coopersville Center that has the Coopersville train today.
Okay.
And they had this engine. It's a famous engine. I have the number here for those who are train enthusiasts. It's an important one because it was actually involved with a train robbery years ago. 7456.
Okay.
So it was an engine that dated back to 1920, and he acquired that from the Coopersville Depot, and it was brought here through rail. It was not workable, but through rail and truck.
Okay.
And I think it cost around $40,000 to get it moved.
Wow.
So a lot of spaghetti dinners, a lot of bake sales, and a lot of donations, and a
sure.
lot of generosity to get that train here. But we learned later in time that it was involved with a very famous train robbery. And so people in Canada had contacted us and said, can they have that train? And the answer to them was, no, thank you. Thank you for your interest, but we'll let the folks here know about that train robbery in the
sure.
process.
And that's the first I've learned about the robbery
side
of it.
Yeah.
And again, one of my biggest reasons for talking to people like you across the county is to learn some of this history.
Sure.
And then to share it. Because you and I talked earlier on that, you know, neither one of us are very shy. And we can, and we're happy to share. I'm inquisitive. I want to get to know things behind the scenes and how things are working. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else about the village that you'd like to share before we wrap this up?
Yeah, probably two or three things. One is the church.
Yep.
So our committee went all throughout Montcalm County trying to find a church from the 1890s or the time period to move in a flatbed truck. They could not find one that was substantive enough to withstand that kind of a move. And so Tom Learmont, one of our committee members, did the drawings and drafted a composite of what a church would look like from back in that time period.
Okay.
And the Brown Construction Company in Carson City came and laid the foundation, put up the main structure, and our committee did all the rest. So most of that building, 85% of it, was done by our own 20 volunteers or so. We did get the pews from Six Lakes United Brethren Church. We got the organ from the Howard City Germain Funeral Home.
Yes.
Back from the 1890s or the 1880s. Piano from Carson City. And by the way, that also is interesting because back in the early 1900s, latter 1890s, there was a big rift in Montcalm County churches about the piano being used in the church. It was seen as the devil's instrument.
Oh.
And
yeah,
so
I'm a drummer, and I've been part of a church that we brought drums in, and it was probably 90%, 95% of the people were enjoying it. But you had that 10, 5% that thought that drums were not supposed to be in church.
I hear you.
And, you know, God bless the people for their, you know, and I understand that. So what else you got?
So it was the same thing. But so Ole Amble was the one who, back at that time period, kind of quelled the storm.
Oh.
And said, you know, if God gave the gift of music, let's allow people to differ in terms of how they, you know, do that music. So at any rate.
And I could tell when you start talking about Reverend, because you've done him in period.
Yeah, yeah.
I could sense that you were almost going to go into character.
Ole Amble mode. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So getting back to the Heritage Village, what have we missed?
One more fun thing about the church. So the graveyard. Those are all real tombstones, but there's no one buried there.
Oh, that's not what I tell my students.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
I joke. I mean, I then come clean.
Sure.
And let them know that, no, that this is, you know, but the headstones are real.
They are real. Here. So one of those, Hannah Dickinson, there was a man, I believe he was in Sheridan, who found that on his back porch steps.
Oh.
He picked it up, turned it around, and when he saw what it was, he said, I don't want that on my porch. So he gave that to us.
Okay.
When I was a docent in that church, I think it was around 2010, I was talking about this, and somebody in the back of the church raised his hand. He said, did you say Hannah Dickinson? And I said, yes. He said, that was my great-grandmother. That was stolen out of the Muskrat East South Sydney Cemetery. I never knew what happened to that. I'm just glad that it ended up here.
Okay.
Because they replaced that stone at that point in time.
Right.
I thought that was really interesting. And then the rosebush in the middle of that cemetery came from the Anderson POW camp down south. One of the Union soldiers that was back in the concentration camp there, in the POW camp, brought that back to Montcalm County after the Civil War. And so that's also a part of that cemetery today.
Wow.
And if you've got the jail, the Edmore Jail.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's put people behind bars.
Yeah, the Edmore Jail. So it was called the Loggers Jail from the 1800s because the same two guys would get their paycheck on Friday night, get smashed, get arrested, spend a weekend in jail, get out on Monday, go through their week. The same thing happened on Friday.
kind of a rinse and repeat scenario.
It is
scenario.
Kind of a rinse and repeat, kind of an Otis Campbell story. So that's one of the buildings on campus that people love to enjoy as well. But yeah, that's great. I love festival every August, the first weekend in August every year. And the book that they had me write for, then they asked, again, the commission, they asked me to write this for them, The Story of Heritage Village. This was put out in 2011, so celebrating 25 years. So this is an older edition of that. But most all the buildings are talked about in this book. And our stories today are a part of that book, and that's also available on Amazon.com.
Okay. And they can learn more about you at GaryHauk.com. GaryHunt.com.
GaryHunt.com, sure.
And so if you want to look at just a couple of his books, which is in the 20s, right?
26, yeah.
26 mm-hmm. at this point. Yeah. Are you in the process of writing anything new now, or are you just going out and continuing to be a world traveler?
Well, I just finished two books this year. One is called Let's Travel and Explore the World. That just came out a few weeks ago. And then just now is coming out one that's called Essays on Faith and Psychology.
Okay.
And so it looks at the extremes of faith without thought or thought without faith. And the idea is we can have both research and faith collaboratively working in our advantage for practical living.
So. And just to kind of keep this dated, it's October 15th, 2025. So if anybody in the future, you know, a few weeks ago means different things into the future.
Yeah. Good point.
So I always like to make sure that the date of the recording is here, because we're capturing some of history through your eyes and through your experiences. And I think that is really, really cool. And I thank you for that. Mm. So we've done a podcast mm-hmm. on the community college. Mm-hmm. We've done a podcast on Heritage Village. Mm-hmm. The next podcast that I'm going to do with you, and people will just have to look on the website and figure it out.
Sure.
Will be on Clifford Lake, and you also have a book on that.
Clifford Lake Inn.
So we're going to do a podcast on that, which will happen in the future. But I thank you again for your time today.
It's been fun.
And,
thank you.
You know, I love learning. I love learning and getting these facts in my head that I'll go, why do I know this? Why do I remember this? So on that note, thank you again for coming in.
My pleasure.
You can find the Discover Montcalm podcast on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube, discovermontcalmpodcast.com. You can go and grab the RSS feed at discovermontcalmpodcast.com, and you can put it in your favorite podcast browser. You can catch us on Pandora, Apple, and iHeart, and we're looking for stories. So if you are from this area and you've got some knowledge, your family has knowledge, or somebody in your family did something that maybe they're not here, but you can share that story about them, let's grab some of that legacy and let's learn a little bit about what has happened in the past. And for those of you in the now, get with me. If you got a business, a nonprofit, you're doing something in this area that you'd like to share, 231-250-9624 is my number. I'm Dwayne, the host and producer. And on that note, remember to buy and shop locally.
The Discover Montcalm podcast is produced by content creator Dwayne Weed, celebrating 40 years at DW Video and Multimedia LLC at dwvideo.com or call 231-250-9624.